All right. Thank you for adjusting your schedules accordingly. Can everyone hear me clearly, by the way? I just want to make sure you can hear me well. Okay, good. Because I'm at home by my home office, quote unquote, which is not my office. But I have so I was able to hook my microphone into this. So hopefully it's a little bit clearer than usual. And God willing, next week we'll have Shear at 7:45 and. Maybe we'll wind up at 8 o'clock soon again anyway. I don't anticipate going later than 8. At that point, we could kind of just revert back to 7 o'clock. That's what I'm thinking of doing. That's what we kind of do every year. This is just that odd transition point. And yeah, God willing, next week is not a week where we have like 2 to 3 simultaneous Shiva homes. And hopefully I will have for many reasons, for everyone's sake, and hopefully to have normal evenings where I could teach cheer, and that way everyone should live good, happy lives. All right, my friends. We are on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph 28A. 28A. And it is story time. Not, again, don't think about like, myth, the mythos of Merlin and King Arthur, not that kind, but not your usual dry run halakhic sugya until we get to the latter half of this year. So you still have what to look forward to if that's the type of gemara that you prefer. Something for everyone. So we are actually on the second line. Second line. Shouldn't be hard to find. Tanurabanan. So in the previous year, we established that Rabbi Eliezer would not give a ruling that he did not receive as a tradition from his Rebbe. So now we're going to kind of give a little bit of a conversation about where this principle really came out originally. So again, for those joining us now, we're on the second line on 28A, Chav Ches Amud Aleph. Jumping in, here we go. Tanu Rabanan. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer sheshavas b'Galil ha'Elyon. So again, remember our good friend Rabbi Eliezer, he went to spend some time in the upper Galil. So all these people who are living up there are like, oh wow, we have this great scholar in our midst. Let's pound him with all the different questions that we have. So 12, he said, I have heard the answer. 18, he says, I have not heard an answer to these questions. Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda Omer Chiyuv HaDvarim Shmona Esrei Amar Lehem Shemati Shteim Esrei Amar Lehem Lo Shemati. There's a different account of the story where he knew 18 answers and 12 he didn't. Point being is, whatever the number is, there were certain answers that he did not want to give of his own accord, but rather he only would relate an answer if he had a tradition for it. Amar Lo, Kol Devarecha Inan Ela Mipi HaShmua. Is it really true that everything you teach comes from a tradition? Amar lahem, hiskaksuni lomar devar shelo shemati mirabosai. Are you trying to really push me to say something that I did not receive from my rebbeim? So where does he get this particular midah? So the Gemara is going to share with us that he basically had, I counted, five special midos. Special hanhagos or kapados, whatever you want to call them, that were unique to him, and this was just one of them. Miyamai lo kidmani adam bebeis hamedrash. So I was always the first guy to get to shul or to get to the beis medrash. V'yashanti bebeis hamedrash loshinas kev loshinas arai. I never would sleep in the beis medrash. I wouldn't even take a power nap. V'lohinachni hinachti adam bebeis hamedrash. I never left anyone in the beis medrash. I made sure that every man was out before the captain leaves. Lo sachti sichas chulin. Rashi says this means like more frivolous speech. I never spoke frivolously. Lo amarti davar shel shemati pi Rebbe me'olam. And then this is the final one, which is the one we are familiar with. And I would never teach something that I did not receive from my rebbeim. Now Rashi clarifies it doesn't mean he didn't hear from his rebbeim because he was slacking in shiur one day. But it means that he listened, he was very studious, he listened very carefully, and certain things he didn't have a tradition for. Now, obviously, this is his unique, his unique chumrah that he keeps. If all rabbis kept this chumrah, then we would never be able to develop how does halakha respond to new realities. So this seems to be just a unique quality that Rabbi Eliezer had. But it would seem that it was not sustainable. Otherwise, we would not really have much literature post-Talmudic era. And clearly, just from looking around, Halakha is able to continue to develop in the sense that we're able to apply those age-old principles to the new realities on the ground. Okay. Amar Olav al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, I believe, Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai boasts, it seems like Rabbi Eliezer adopts from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but he seems to boast a portfolio of, I think I counted, nine unique practices. And some of them will sound familiar from before, and some of them will be new. So here we go. Miyamav, so from his days, v'losach sichas chulin, okay, he didn't speak any empty, frivolous speech. V'holach dalad amos bo Torah b'lo tefillin, he wouldn't go four amos without Torah and without wearing tefillin, meaning Rashi says bo Torah b'lo girsa, shaholich v'shona tamid, he was constantly just teaching Torah and reviewing Torah as he was walking wherever he went, right? They didn't have like YU Torah and podcasts for things for people to listen to back then. So he remembered it all and he just reviewed it as he was going. V'lokadmu adam beis hamedrash, no one could beat him to getting to the beis hamedrash first. V'loyashim beis hamedrash loshanes kevlo shanes arai, again another familiar one. He didn't take even a power nap in the beis hamedrash. Lo here b'mavos hametunafos, he wouldn't think about Torah when he was in unclean alleyways as he was traveling. Lo hiniach adam beis hamedrash v'yatza, he wouldn't leave anyone, he'd be the last one standing in the beis hamedrash. Lo matzah adam yoshe v'domeim el yoshe v'shona, and you would never find him silent, you'd always find him, if he was sitting somewhere, he wasn't just spacing out, he wasn't just playing Candy Crush on his phone, but he was actually sitting and always learning. There was always words of Torah on his lips. Lo pasach adam delas tamid of elohu ba'asma. This is very interesting. This is a practice you see, like, you know, teachers like to do, which is he wouldn't let other people open up the door to the beis hamedrash, but he'd be the one to greet the students in the morning. So I remember when I was in Darche, when I was in elementary school, Rabbi Yaakov Bender would make a point that he was the Rosh Yeshiva. He's the head of the whole school. He would come out and I don't know if it was every day, but most days, he would be there to receive the students and welcome them as they came in. So this practice is a practice for Yochanan ben Zakkai. Lomar davar shel shamei pi rabbi me'olam, and he also would not share anything had he not had a tradition from his rebbe. Lo amar he gia eis lamo beis hamedrash. He would never say, I guess I'm bringing back all my darkei things now. So I remember even on even when there were legal holidays or even when there was a snow day, they would cancel all the secular studies. But they said, you know, if you can't make it, we'll give you a patur. But in principle, the beis hamedrash never closes. I think even when Hurricane Sandy, it took a little bit of time, but they worked very fast to get things back up and running. So chutz me'arvei psachim v'arvei yom ha'kippurim, with the exception of Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippurim, because of all the various things. You know, you have the Karban Pesach, you have to do your chametz, on Yom Kippur you have to have the meal, right? So there's a lot of things that you need to do in preparation, but with those two exceptions, he never closed the Beis Medrash. Interestingly, it doesn't mention Megillah reading, because in theory, I guess maybe they did it inside the Beis Medrash. Maybe that's the pshat. And then finally, v'chinai Rabbi Eliezer Talmido Noig Acharav, and indeed, Rabbi Eliezer accepted this tradition of only citing something from a tradition. So there you have it.
Rabbi, wouldn't they have had to? I mean, what about Erev Shabbos? What about Erev any Yontif? I mean,
This is a great question. Let's see, where's Rashi on here? Yes, so for Arvei Pesachim, because of Asiyas Pischehem, and because of the Tinokos, okay. And the Yom Kippurim, because you need to eat while it's still day. Yeah, it's a great question.
Just, like, going up to the last minute.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe they outsource the preparation more to the Nashim Sukaniyos. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
I mean, they still had an obligation to take a shower, to get dressed. I mean,
these are good questions, Toby. I my Masifta Gemara is back at shul, but I would be surprised if somehow that question was not to say you're not original, Constantine, but
That's
you're right. Now,
a great question.
once you brought that to my attention, I'm like, that's such a glaring question. Someone has to address that. If not, then we have Chidushi Hatobi al Ashas. So you have to write in your Haros
I have no answers, only questions.
there. All right. So going forward, my friends, Tanurabana. Now, this is a especially fascinating passage. There is a lot to unpack here, but we'll do it on the standard level. But just there's a certain point in this passage where like every word has like 10 million different ways to interpret it. Tanurabanan, Shmonim Tamidim Halo Lehil Hazakin. Hil Hazakin had 80 students. Shlosh Behen Ruim Shetishrei and Shechina Kamosh Rabbeinu. 30 of them were worthy of having the divine presence rest on them, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. And 30 of them were on the level. Again, we have to understand what this means, that the sun could stop for them, just like it stopped for Yeshua ben Nun in the battle and save for Yeshua. And then Esther and Beninim, and 20 of them were just ordinary. Now, ordinary in respect to people who are comparable to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. This doesn't mean ordinary like just some any Joe who walks into the Beis Medrash. Gadol Shebekulan Yonasan ben Uziel. So the greatest was Yonasan ben Uziel. And who was the bottom ranking one? Just to give you a sense of how they were not typical people. Katan Shebekulan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Remember that person who we just talked about, who was like, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and we just mentioned a few of his hakpados. And trust me, there's a lot of other material in Shas that's very important about Yochanan ben Zakkai, about the Avnah and everything. So he was the lowest ranking. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the lowest ranking. You just got to imagine who was above Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amrulav, and just to give
So,
you a
Rabbi,
sense.
I'm sorry, but what do they mean? They're setting up the between Moses and Joshua like they're on opposite ends, and they're in the middle. I'm
No,
not.
you should know. Oh, I read it differently. I thought Beninim like typical. Like usually we read Beninim. How are they rendering it in the?
Well, right in the art scroll, they say, and there were 20 who ranked in between.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me see. What's the? There's no
And
Rashi
the
on it.
footnote here just says they were greater than the disciples compared to Joshua, but did not reach the stature of those likened to Moses.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
All
okay.
right.
That
Okay.
it seems like a reasonable rendering. I'm not seeing a Rashi on here. I read Beinim is like, usually we talk about Beinim as people who are just like typical, but Beinim can be literally in between. So in between Yeshua and Moshe. Okay, very good. Nonetheless, however you want to render it, or Yochanan and Zakkai seems to be at the bottom of the barrel. But that's a pretty good bottom of the barrel to be at. It says, I think, in Pirkei Avos that it's preferable to be the tail of the lion than the head of the fox. So this is a good application of that. So Amar Olav or Yochanan ben Zakkai, and just to give you a sense of how the lowest ranking student was, Shohaniach Mikra Umishna Talmud Halachos Vagados Dikdukei Torah Vidukei Sofrim Kalam V'Chamurim. Okay, let's slow down. Right, we're talking about Tanakh, Mishnah, Talmud, Law, Agada, which is the stories and parables, Dikdukei Torah Vidukei Sofrim, which Rashi tells us what's Dikduke Torah. Riboy Osios. We're going to see this in a moment. Like there's an extra hey in the word ha-ezrach. What do I make of the hey? So that's Dikduke Torah. And Dikduke Sofrim, it shows Sivu Ledak Acher Maisa Habrios, Siyag, is just basically rabbinic strictures. Kal v'chamurim, whether the lighter ones or the heavier ones. And Ugzera Shavos, which is, of course, when you have two words that are the same. We'll talk about this again also. Tesvav, Tesvav, the connection between Pesach and Sukkot, that they both are on the 15th day. That's Gezeirah Shavah. Tkufos, the calendar. Gematrios, you know what a gematria is, right? Numerical value. Sichas Malachei Hashareis, Usichas Shadim, the speech of the ministering angels, the speech of demons, Usichas Dekalim, and the speech of the palm trees. Now, this is just like one of the things I was curious and took a look at. What's the speech of the palm trees? So there's all sorts of explanations, but some of them were like you could hear the trees whispering to each other as they talk. It's like in Lord of the Rings, you have the Ents, which are the tree people that speak to each other. So it's apparently a thing. Michelle's Kosim, Michelle's Sholem, the stories and parables of the launderers and of the foxes. Again, what does it mean? Like foxes or people who catch foxes. Dover guttle, dover cutton, a great matter or a small matter. Now, that's a little bit ambiguous. What is that? I mean, this whole thing's ambiguous. Dover guttle, maisa merkava. A great matter refers to the maisa merkava, the chariot and the all the crazy, not crazy, but like all the remarkable things that's described to in Yechezkel. And dover cutton, havayos d'Abaye v'Rava. And something minor, which refers to the machlokis between Abaye and Rava. I was taking a look in the, what's that sefer called that I have? Nitzotzei Hashas. There's different interpretations of this. It doesn't necessarily mean, so I want to render it as, well, the real Torah learning, the highest Torah learning is Maisa Merkava. The lower is just the simple machlokis Abaye and Rava in the Gemara. But others say that, no, it's actually dover cutton. It means that it seems dover cutton to us as we perceive it, but actually it's something that we need to consistently engage in more. It doesn't mean that it's on a lower tier than studying all these fantastical allusions to eschatology and theology. L'kayim hashnemar, and this is to fulfill the words, l'hagdil ohavai yesh, v'otzrosehem emale. So, right. So I think, where's Rashi? Rashi on that. Where's Rashi on this? Oh, there's no Rashi on it. Okay, whatever it might be. But there's a particular drush on Yesh. 310. Basically, God is saying, I'll give you 310 worlds. Basically, there's a huge reward for these people. And if this is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gets as his reward for studying all these areas, imagine how much everyone else gets who ranks above Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Amar Lava Yonasan ben Uziel. Remember Yonasan ben Uziel? He was the one who ranked the highest. So what do we make of him? So it says, B'shasha Yoshi B'osik B'Torah Kol Osha Poreach Lev Miyad Nisraf. That when he would study Torah, any bird that flew over him would immediately be singed and incinerated. Now, it's quite an image, right? Tosos says, "Shehadvarim smechim kinesinasa besinai shenisna Torah be'esh." That because the words of Torah would give him so much gratification, it was like the simcha when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, which was given through flame. And I looked at the reference here. It seems that this rendering is on the pasuk of Eish Das Lamo, in which the Torah is described as Osa Bracha as fire. So, all right, I guess, you know, if you ever get into Gemara Shiur one night, just tell people to stay back, guys, all right? Get a little dangerous. All right, my friends, that brings us to the Mishnah, and now we get back to our original program. Now, this Mishnah we're about to look at, my friends, should sound familiar because we referenced it all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta. I think on was Daf Gimel? May have been thinking around Daf Gimel, possibly. Right, we go on a field trip, everyone, back in the past a few months. I think it was Gimel Amid Aleph. Yes, it was Gimel Amid Aleph. So remember, we had that whole discussion way back when about what happens that if most of you can fit in the sukkah, but your table can't fit in the sukkah. And we had this whole discussion about, we basically concluded that there's two-way dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. One is if your sukkah is just, that in terms of dimensions, not big enough to fit a table in there. And then the second was, even if you have a huge sukkah, what is the halakha if your table is inside your house and you're inside the sukkah? And Beis Shammai took a machmir position on both cases. And Beis Hillel, unsurprisingly, took the more lenient position. So we reference this Mishnah. If it sounds somewhat familiar, it's because it is familiar. Here we go. Mishahaya rosho virubo besukkah. Ushulchana besukkah bayis. If someone, his head and most of his body is inside the sukkah, but his table is inside his house. Beis Shammai poslin, Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Shammai says, no good. Beis Hillel says, it's okay. Amarlan Basila Bishamai. Basila says to Bishamai, Lo kachaya maisa shahokh zikni Bishamai zikni Basila Levaker Zerv Yochanan ben Hachuranis. Didn't our predecessors, the elders of Bishamai, the elders of Basila, go to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Hachuranis in his sukkah? They saw that his table was inside the house and he was in the sukkah. And they didn't say anything. That would imply the fact they didn't say anything is that shtika kohoda. See, that just came out today. Shtika kohoda. That if they didn't say anything, it means that they were okay. That they thought it was okay for the table to be inside the house. So Amarlo, Beis Shammai say, I don't know about your alternative facts, but this is how the story went down. Amarlehem Beis Shammai, Mishamraya, Avhem Amarlo, Imkein Hayisa Noheg, Lo Kiyamta Mitzah Sukkah Miyamecha. They did say something. They weren't quiet. They said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanis that if you always, every single sukkah, would have your table inside the house and you were inside the sukkah, it means you never fulfilled the mitzvah sukkahs your entire life. Now, by the way, Tosos we saw back on Daf Gimel reads these words quite literally. That Beis Shammai is saying that when you, because what's wrong over here? The Beis Shammai hold that it's really a gezeirah that your sukkah needs to have the table in it. Why are you not allowed to put your table in your house? It's a gezeira shemi yamashik acher shulchano. Maybe, you know, if your table's in your house, you will find yourself sitting in the house instead of the sukkah. Very plausible, right? So the interesting thing here is that Beis Shammai are not saying that you are in violation of a mitzvah midra or a gezeira midrabanan, but rather you have fundamentally not fulfilled the mitzvah sukkah, seemingly even on a d'oraisa level your entire life. So this is an important machlokus. It's Tosos and Ay. I'm forgetting who he argues with. Maybe it's the Rush. But basically it's a machlokus. Rishonim is a Minchas Chinuch on this about do the rabbis, when they institute gezeros, are they saying that if you don't do the Durabon level, you're not even, they're basically modifying the Doraisa, that you're not even fulfilling a Doraisa level, or is this, there's an idea that even if I build a sukkah in a way that's possible with the Rabbanan, it's better I sit in that sukkah and at least be Yotze on a Doraisa level. Can we still bifurcate between those? Or once the rabbis have introduced the parameters, it fundamentally changes the kiyum even for Doraisa purposes. So this is a much broader machlokas, and it may very well be the topic of a shiur we do sometime down the line. Okay, second half, now the seifa of the Mishnah. Who is obligated to sit in the sukkah? Right? Something I know we've wondered about and we finally got to it. Nashim avanim uktanim patur min sukkah. Women, slaves, and children are exempt from a sukkah. This refers to even to a Jewish servant because a male Jewish servant is not obligated in time-bound mitzvos. Katan she'ino tzarech li'imo chai b'sukkah. A child who no longer requires his mother at all times, that child, because of chinuch, would be obligated in the sukkah. Remember, we had that whole story about Hilni Hamalka and her children going into the sukkah. We tried to infer some ideas from there. So that's because of chinuch. Maisa, and in fact, there's a story, the Yolda Kalato Shel Shammai, that Shammai's daughter-in-law had, Shammai Zagin had a baby. And where she slept with the, and had the baby with her, they peeled away some of the roofing. They put some schach over there. That way the baby would be sleeping essentially in a sukkah. So he was, Bishamai was makbid, that even if the child still needs his mother, you should already be training them in the mitzvos. Yeah, Toby.
But is that only if the child is a boy?
Yeah. It would be a boy because, right, it says katan, though I see...
Well, not just that, but I mean, if you're saying that women don't have to sit in the sukkah, then why would you educate the daughter?
I think you're 100% correct. Yeah. It would seem to be that it was a boy. That would be very reasonable to assume. Yeah, I think so. And then it says kata, not katana. So there you have it. It's a masculine. All right. Now the Gemara is going to try to figure out why is it that women are not obligated in the mitzvah sukkah. Now you're all jumping up and saying, "What do you mean, mitzvah seishes man grama?" So it's funny. The Gemara is not going to initially offer that reason. It's going to give a different reason, and then it's going to say, "Why do you need a complicated drasha when we know this age-old principle that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs?" So the Gemara is going to get to the point that we're all thinking about. Minahani mili. So how do I know that women are not obligated in sukkah? To Tanu Rabbanon Ezrach ze Ezrach. So it says in the pasuk, I'll just read you the pasuk for a moment. Basukos teishu shivas yamim kol ha Ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkah. So right, we've quoted this one ad nauseum. Though usually we're emphasizing the first part of the pasuk that you should make a sukkah for 7 days to dwell in. You should dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. Every inhabitant of the Jewish people should dwell in the sukkah. So if all it said was Ezrach without the hey ha'idiyah, without the prefix of the hey, I would assume that includes anybody, women included. But ha Ezrach lehotzias anashim. That remember we're talking about dikduke Torah, inferring from even extra letters in the seemingly superfluous letters. So here's an example of that. Ha Ezrach teaches us that women are excluded.
Rabbi, the sound. Can't hear you. Can't hear you all of a sudden.
How's that? Do you hear me now?
Now,
I
yes.
accidentally clicked the mute button on my microphone. How long was that going for?
10 seconds.
Okay, perfect. Let me move this. All right. So, kol l'rabos. That is to include the children. And amarmar ha ezrach. So Matt Maher is going to question his drasha. Ha ezrach lahotzias anashim. Are you saying the extra hay is exclusive to women? Rather, I mean, lememra de Ezrach bein Nashim bein Gari mashma. That means that you're assuming that the word Ezrach on its own implies men and women, and Ha Ezrach excludes women. But we have a brisa regarding Enoi, regarding the afflictions of Yom Kippur, which goes the opposite way in its drasha. But Tanya, Ha Ezrach, when this word Ha Ezrach appears in the laws of afflictions on Yom HaKippurim, lirabos, it's actually including women. Ha Ezrachios shechayavos b'inoy. Alma Ezra gavri mashma. So it's actually the opposite drasha when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. If it only said Ezrach, I would have thought just men. But since it says Ha Ezrach, it includes even women. So, okay, which drasha is wrong? Because they can't both be right. Is the word Ezrach imply both genders or only one gender? Okay, so that's the question that we have here. So, Amar Rabba, Hilchos Aninu Vasbechinu Rabbanan Akrai. One of these, we don't know which one yet, is a tradition. Remember, we talked about Asmachtas. There's a bit of a discussion what exactly an Asmachta is, but in its simplicity, here, what it would mean is that the Rabbanan developed an idea, and then they hung their hat on a pasuk. So it's not a real drasha. It's rather the Rabbanan came in a priori with an idea of what they wanted to institute, and then they kind of found a pasuk to use it almost to give a little bit of extra oomph or as a memory tool in order to remember. There's another way to understand Asmachta, which is the Rabbanan looked at a pasuk and they saw it as God giving them the optional authority to invoke certain ideas in there, but that doesn't seem to be the kind of Asmachta here. So parenthetical. So the question is, Haikra b'hai hilchusa, which one is the more persuasive reading of the word ha-ezrach, and which one, right, is it sukkah or Yom HaKippurim, and which one is the non-persuasive reading, which is relying really just on a tradition rather than the actual rendering of the pasuk. So Vesu, furthermore, Kralamali, and furthermore, it begs the question, this is one we're probably all wondering, why do I need this, I don't want to say convoluted, but why do I need to go down the route of drushas to begin with? Hasukkah Mitzvahs, why do I need, why do, sorry, why do I need this whole halacha in the begin with? Why do I need this tradition? Sukkah, mitzvah, seishes, man, grama. Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah. We call mitzvah, seishes, man, grama, nashim, b'tiros. And women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. So why do I even need to go down this whole entire route to begin with? There's a very simple overarching principle that would address the case of sukkah. Sukkah is time-bound just like anything else. And then vis-a-vis, sorry?
But then we'd never be obligated to observe any holiday. Every holiday has a time element. It's now and not the next day. It's and Shabbos or whatever.
Yeah, no. In Achinani, like women are not obligated in shofar, but they took it upon themselves. But women
we're
are not.
obligated in Shabbos.
So Shabbos is different. There's a connection between Zachor and Shamor that anyone who's obligated in Zachor is also obligated. Sorry, anyone who's obligated in Shamor is also obligated in Zachor. So that's a
And what about
special.
Pesach?
So then for Pesach, there's a svar of Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes that women were also. So we did this one actually. I love it. So you're connecting us back to Maseches Megillah. So we talked about this in Maseches Megillah when it says women are obligated in the midst of Mikra Megillah. So Tosos there says, oh, wait, it's not just Megillah, but it's Hanukkah and it's also Pesach. And Tosos says, Afhein Hayu Boso Anes. There's this overarching idea that's common through these three Yom Tovim that women were also either one interpretation is that they were saved through the miracle. Or if you look at the Hanukkah story, you look at the Purim story, you look at the Pesach story, there is a heroine who is women played a significant role. And because they were part about bringing the redemption, they too have the schlus of being obligated in the mitzvot to celebrate that redemption. So each kind of holiday on a localized level, if women are obligated, is because of unique aspects, either a drasha or a rationale for that holiday.
So Sukkot is the only one that doesn't have it, you're saying?
Is what?
So Sukkot is the only holiday you're saying doesn't have a hook.
Women aren't obligated to eat cheesecake. For sure.
What?
Okay.
Well, no,
women
we were
aren't
all
obligated
at Sinai.
To eat cheesecake for sure.
we all stood at the foot of Sinai, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Talmud Torah component was honestly like kind of a little bit later idea. Let's see, what holiday? So Rosh Hashanah. Oh, well, let me think through our holidays. Are women obligated in Yom HaTzmaut? You know what? I feel like someone actually probably wrote that, but like, you know, seriously. All right. Yeah. It's Inachinami. Sorry, Toby. Sukkah as well. Just not necessarily because of this. So Sukkah and Rosh Hashanah. And so let's see how we get that from Sukkah. So question number one again is, why do I need all these fancy drashos? We have the principle of a patur from mitzvah seishes man grama. Number two, vis-a-vis Yom HaKippur, Yom HaKippur, mid Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nafka, to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So we learned, v'chein tanit v'yirei shmol, lots of good authorities over here. Amar Kra, it says in the verse, literally, ish o isha, man or woman. You can't get more explicit than that. Why do I need a drush of ha ezrach to include women when it literally says ish o isha, man or woman? The Torah could not be clearer. So hishva kasav isha leish, we see that women are comparable to men for these matters. L'chol odesh b'Torah, for when it comes to any of the punishments that are listed in the Torah. And Yom HaKippurim carries some serious penalties for someone who violates it. You get a chi of kares. So this is the question, both vis-a-vis Yom HaKippurim and vis-a-vis Sukkot, why do I need all this? So Amar Rabbi, the Olam, Sukkah Hilchasa. So the truth be told, Rabbi says, the word Ha Ezrach is not really teaching me that women are excluded. And nor is it the principle of Mitzvah Shemang Gar. Rather, V'itzterich, Salka Daitach Amina, I would. Oh, are you going to sleep? Oh, careful. Okay. I'll say goodnight to everyone. Say goodnight. Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good night, sweetie. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Rabbi La'olam. Sukkah Hilchasa. So, Sukkah, we learn from Halacha, it's Derech. Yet, why do I still need this drasha? Salka daita chamina, I would think women were obligated nonetheless. Teishu ke'en tuduru. Ma'adira ish v'ishto, just as in a household where there's a man and woman, the man and woman are together. So if the man is in the sukkah, the woman should be with her and should be with him in the sukkah. Av sukkah ish v'ishto. So too a sukkah, the husband and wife are together. Kamash malan. By the way, a little tidbit, one of the rationales for, at least this works for married men, not to have to sleep in the sukkah is actually because of Teishu Kein Tuduru. That, you know, if your wife is not with you in the sukkah and you're supposed to be like Teishu Kein Tuduru, that your sukkah should be like you would in your house, but you don't have your wife with you, then that's one of the rationales in that laundry list of rationales for not having to sleep in the sukkah. But again, that particular one only works in the case of a married man. So you know, Baruch Hashem, now I can feel a little bit less guilty. I have that. I have the weather. So I have other rationales as well. Rava Amar Itzderich. Why do I need the drasha nonetheless of Ha'ezrach? Salka Daita Chamina Yov Chamisha Sar Chamisha Sar Michagam Azus. I would think we apply our wormhole between sukkah and matzah, that women are obligated to eat matzah on Pesach. So too, maybe they'd be obligated to sleep in the sukkah and eat in the sukkah. So, right, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah man grama, malal anashim chayavos, afkan anashim chayavos. So kamash malan, no, women are not obligated. So that's why we needed the drush of ha'ezrach to, because it would not be sufficient just to rely on the standard principle of mitzvah man grama, because either because of the gezeirah shava, or because of the principle teaching Kein Tuduru, I would have thought it would be an exception to the rule. Kamash Malan HaEzrach, it's not an exception to the rule. Finally, just we'll go just slightly further. V'hashad Amrit Sukkah Hilchasa Kra Lemeli. So the question is, now that it's an established, all that was to explain why we have the halacha, why we needed a particular tradition. Let me just backtrack a little bit. Now, the pasuk is what we need to explain right now, right? Why did we need a particular tradition? So the tradition was to counter those havaminas. But kralamali, why do I need ha-ezrach? Okay, scratch what I said earlier. L'rabos esagerim, to include converts. Salka daita chamina ha-ezrach b'Yisrael. I would think, you know, a native inhabitant relates to someone who was, you know, a native member of the Jewish people, not someone who joins the Jewish people. So ha-ezrach b'Yisrael, ha-rachmanav alo esagerim. Kamash malan, no, ha-ezrach teaches us that even, you know, everyone who joins the Jewish faith is now considered a full resident and inhabitant of the Jewish people. Finally, Yom HaKippurim, mid Rav Yehuda Marav Nafka, lo nitzrecha el tosefes inoy. So what is the ha-ezrach teaching us when it comes to Yom HaKippurim that I would not know otherwise? Remember, we said, it says literally in the pasuk, ish o isha. So I would think that women are obligated, they're included in the strictures of standard inoy. But there's also something called tosefes inoy. They're supposed to add on a little bit before and after the Yom Kippur. You add on a little bit of time. We actually do this for all Yom Tovim and Shabbosim, that we add a little bit of time at the beginning, a little time at the end. That's your 18 minutes. So Saga Daita Chamina, Holo Mit Rechman Lo Tosefes Inoy Me Onesh Ume Asara Lo Nischaiva Nashim Klau. I would think that since when you're in the Tosefes period, it doesn't carry like the kares. It doesn't carry the same level of punishment that you would if it was Yom Kippur proper. So I would think maybe women aren't included in the Tosefes aspect. Kamash Malan, that's what the Pasuk HaEzrach there comes to teach us, that women are even obligated in the Tosefes, full on egalitarianism. Women have to keep all the strictures of Yom Kippurim just like men. Ah. A victory for women today. Am I right? All right. All right, my friends. That brings about a quarter way down the Chav Chesem Abeis. And God willing, starting next week, because Mincha is going to be like 7:10, I think. So we'll be doing Gemara Shir, God willing, 7:45. And as I said, once we hit 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock I think is the latest we'll go, by which time Mincha would have been, you know, 7:35 or something. And then we jump back to 7 o'clock and then keep it there for a while. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your flexibility. Wishing everyone.
Rabbi, any news about what's happening tomorrow? Are the TV stations all going to be there?
I've been copied on some emails, but it's like really Matt has been kind of doing all the org, you know. I mean, it's like a funny thing. Like I kind of get asked questions. I'm like, it's a great question. I have no decision-making authority on any of these matters. Matt Feinberg is your man.
I'm just wondering if it's happening or not. Just,
Oh, the funeral?
no. Things like television coverage, or if you've
Yeah,
been
an
advised
email just went
that
out about
any
that.
particular
Yeah.
politicians are coming, or
I was copying an email about a what's her name? Susan Collins, I think, is coming.
oh, really?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, so I think she's coming. Yeah, but if you check, there's an email that went out shortly before the shir began, in which
About no
one of the
bags.
what was that?
About no bags. That's the one I
I
saw.
think somewhere in the email mentioned a news channel was going to be streaming it. Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
Marina's
That's
nodding her head.
pretty
I think it's
soon.
in that email, the latest one. All right. We should share with Seros Tovos, God willing.
Only.
All right. Take
Only.
care, everyone. Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Good cheer.
Thank you. Always good learning together. Great questions.